Okay, welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. We've got a pretty special guest tonight, but before we get to him, we'll go through a couple of real quick things. I'll make sure everybody keeps track of the Emoto rice experiment. There's been some pretty interesting developments on that, so pop over to the website and check that out. I think I'm on day 31 now, and things are really starting to develop there. Also, I'd like to remind everybody that we do take donations. We do this out of our own pockets, and anything that anybody can drop our way is greatly appreciated. So, Ramon, you got anything else on that end of it?
That's pretty much it on that end of it, but we have an amazing guest, and I would like to start off, before I read his bio, I would like to say I would call this man the man with the huge spotlight. He's just shining light on everything. He's called by Wired Magazine an authority on Hermetic and alchemical traditions and Eruzi conspiracy hunter. Jay Wadner is a renowned author, filmmaker, and Hermetic scholar, considered to be a modern-day Indiana Jones for his ongoing worldwide quest to find clues to mankind's spiritual destiny via ancient societies and artifacts. His body of work offers great insight into the circumstances that have led to the current global crisis. He is the producer of the documentary film 2012, The Odyssey, its sequel Time Wave 2013, and director of the forthcoming feature documentary Infinity, The Ultimate Trip. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on. And Infinity is actually out now. You can go to my site at sacredmysteries.com and pick up a copy. It's an especially good film for if you know anyone who's I'm about to pass over. So a very uplifting kind of view of what every single one of us has to face. So got a lot of good reviews, and it's my best effort yet. So if you want to really check out something cool, check out Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, the new DVD from Sacred Mysteries.
It showed up yesterday. I ordered it the other day, and it showed up yesterday, and I watched it last night. It is an actually very, very enlightening show. So congratulations on that one. So, Jay, we want to kind of lean this towards the theme of our show, which is consciousness. And in your best definition, what is consciousness?
Consciousness is a self-awareness. So it's when you're, Narcissus was the Greek god who stared down into the pond and saw his own reflection and fell in love with it. Well, consciousness is being aware that you are a sentient being. It isn't, animals have degrees of consciousness, but only humans have the ultra consciousness. And we've been gifted with that because we are parts of a living planet named Sophia. And we are her, we are the way she thinks. We are the way that she processes information. And so consciousness is also the planet becoming aware, self-aware. And that is what we are in the middle of right now. We are neurons inside the mind of the goddess Sophia, the living planet of the earth, and Gaia, whatever you want to call her. And when we talk and communicate, we are that is the synapses inside the mind of, or the consciousness of Sophia, as she grows towards self-awareness. And we're in the birth, the birth of this thing right now. We're in the birth of Sophia, the planet, actually gaining total and complete consciousness. And at that point, she will turn into a kind of a meta-dimensional being, of which will be completely different from anything we can even imagine. And we're on the cusp of this, or we're going to fail. And Sophia's tried many times now to create, to get to consciousness, and she's failed several times. But, this time she's added a few booster rockets to her assault on the alien forces which seek to stop her from reaching consciousness. And the Internet is one of them, and that's why I do radio shows and TV shows and things, and do out my own DVDs, is because we have a lot of I don't want to use the term weapons, but you know, I do like martial arts, so I'll say a lot of chops and a lot of kicks left in us, and we can get rid of the things that are dragging us down, that are making us not aware. And we shouldn't really worry about converting unaware people to awareness. I think that's just really a waste of time. I think what you have to do is you have to encourage the aware to become more aware. And because it's the cutting edge people that are going to be the ones that define this reality. And this is where Sophia and the Earth is really, that's what she's interested in. She's interested in on the cutting edge. When we learn something, she learns it. When we see her beauty, she sees her beauty. When we look at a picture of her from outer space, take a picture of her from outer space and look at her through our eyes, she sees her beauty for the first time. And this is what, collective consciousness that's emerging right now, and will continue now because we're now past the threshold. Thank God, and thank Goddess, and we're moving now towards this mass consciousness where I don't know what's going to happen. Will we turn into a single entity? I don't know what Sophia has in mind for us as we pass through the barrier of space and time and move into this next meta-dimensional place. But the more conscious we become, the more self-aware we become, the more aware we become of everything. And the more it seems to turn on more neurons and to create more synapses inside the brain, and each brain is, you know, a neuron inside her consciousness. So it's there's a fundamental thing going on here, and where it ends is up for grabs, and that's why I think we all need to be fighting for it, because it's that important.
One of the what was it? 3 weeks ago, we interviewed Jamlan Bash, and he also spoke about Sophia. My question to you is, did you ever experience what he called the light substance?
The organic light.
Yeah, organic light.
Yeah, well, the organic light is the, in order to understand all this, you have to understand alchemy. And in order to understand alchemy, you have to understand that there is a, there's an interaction going on between two different aspects of Sophia. She has two different aspects. One is the hard planet, which is in rocks and dirt and plants and things, as that old song would say. And then the other part is what we call the area surrounding the Earth, the envelope, the donut-shaped electromagnetic field that exists with the Earth inside the hole of the donut, if you might. And when you reduce, then there's an essence. There's two essences that are at work creating life on Sophia. One is what we might call the terrestrial essence, and the other is the celestial essence. And the celestial essence is a force that is pulling out from the Earth up into the sky, and the terrestrial essence is that which is pulling everything down into the Earth. And life is that tension point between these two essences. The problem with life is that as you age, you gain more of the terrestrial essence and you lose your celestial essence. Until by the time you're an old person, you're almost all terrestrial essence, and then finally you crumble into the Earth and become 100% terrestrial essence. So the real key to the Philosopher's Stone, and I would point out that philosophy merely means the love of Sophia. The magic of the Philosopher's Stone is that someone a long time ago figured out how to grab the celestial influence or particle or charge, because it's really more of a charge than a particle or a wave. It's really electromagnetic, but I don't want to get into that because it's too complicated. And so as we go through the yugas or the ages, we get denser and denser, and the Earth gets denser and denser because the electromagnetic field of the Earth is growing denser, and our lives get shorter, and we're more unhealthy and we get more stupid, and that's what's going on now. And so it becomes of most revolutionary importance to take as much of the celestial influence as you possibly can. And as you age, it'll become even more important. And you can do that with, you know, Taoism and with the Qigong and with yoga and with hiking up mountains. That's why mountains feel so good, because you're up around the celestial charge with less of the terrestrial charge. And this is why you get bummed out in the winter, because the light carries the sun is probably the source of the celestial charge, and when the sun's bathing you, you're getting a lot of the levity charge, also it could be called. It causes things to levitate. And so the magic of what's going on right now is that Sophia, as my friend John likes to call her, which is actually more correct, because Phi is, of course, the way that she works her magic in nature. So what she has done here is the anti-Sophia forces, the Archons, are keeping Sophia on life support at the internal care, intensive care unit, and they just want to suck off her energy, and that's it. They aren't really interested in her achieving consciousness or self-awareness or any of that. All they like is her energy, i.e. her forest, her fish, her water, her everything, is devouring it. And this is a necessary part of the awakening of Sophia, but what is the most integral part of the awakening of Sophia is that we take command of the situation and say, you know, no more. And we realize who we are and where we're living and what she is. And then we refuse to live in the world of the Archons. And that's really the only thing left. And practicing alchemy and gathering up those essences, these celestial essences, and taking them will give us a great advantage, because it will, our aging will slow down, and we'll be able to live a long, long time and outsmart the people who aren't taking the essences. So what the revolution is going on right now via the internet and shows like this is that the great secret of how you gather up these celestial essences and how you take them is about to be released. And when that happens, all bets are off. That'll be the end of it'll be the end of civilization, because you won't need doctors, you won't need any of it. You won't want it. And those that take it that want it are going to be very unhappy people, because they're going to be trapped in a world of such a high vibration that they're just going to crack apart, because the secret protects itself. And so here we are at the cusp of the full awakening of Sophia, where even the most innermost secrets are released, and Sophia becomes aware of everything. She isn't even aware that there was a new world order until we realized that there was a conspiracy. You understand how that works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get it until enough neurons turn on, right? So she gets it, right? And so this is what's going on all over the place, is we're awakening with consciousness and self-awareness, and her neurons are turning on. And so right now we're at the cusp of this thing where we could overwhelm we could be in control of the consciousness of Sophia to help her get rid of the things that are hurting and help us get to where we need to get to. And one of the ways is alchemy, a return to nature religions, and a complete turning off of the industrial complex that has ruled our lives for so long, and we need to get rid of it. And the only way to get rid of it is to just walk away from it.
I'm seeing more.
And that's what I'm encouraging.
I'm seeing more and more people that, I mean, it's exponentially right now, the people are waking, quote unquote, waking up and really starting to ask those questions.
Well, they are. There's no doubt about it. I'm old enough to remember when, no one would even consider the things that I'm speaking about right now. And, you know, and this is growing, and we've got to keep it moving. And we can, it's a powerful message, and we can undercut the entire matrix with it. So that's really what I try to do and why I go on these shows.
Yeah, well, Ramon and I are both, I mean, that's, we're part of this here too. This whole awakening is what's prompted us to get out here and start putting ourselves out there and start bringing in people like you to raise that consciousness and start pushing things in the right direction.
Well, I wanted to get back to, I appreciate that. I wanted to answer one thing. This organic light is this essence, okay? And you can trap it. You can put it, and you can, it's the light that guides all of nature. And that's what alchemy is, and that's what we're on the verge of. That's why John Lash, he's like encouraging me to say it. He won't say it because he knows how dangerous it is to say it. But, I mean, that is what's going on. And we can actually, through practices, even yoga and things, that's what those are really about. Those are about trapping this organic light in condensing it into the body. And this adds to the celestial charge and reduces aging. Human beings should be able to live 900 years easily with these essences. And these essences aren't hard to get. Cost about $35, $40, to be honest with you. It's about all your money you'll spend. And I encourage, you know, everyone to study alchemy and look into what I'm saying.
Are you talking a lot about, like, the monatomic gold and stuff like that?
No, I'm not. Not at all. In fact, I highly recommend that people do not take that stuff. No, I'm talking about try to imagine, because it's everywhere. Once you see it, it's everywhere. Try to imagine this force that's raining down on us all the time. And this force, as it moves through the air and strikes the ground, it grounds itself and it changes its charge. It goes from celestial to terrestrial, or from positive to negative, depending on how you want to look at it. And then you realize that if anything has touched the ground, that it's grounded. So the top and upper part of your body are in the celestial realm. And the lower part of your body, especially because you're human and you walk upright, which gives you an attenuation with this force, your feet and your legs, they're down, grounded into the terrestrial force. And as you age, you know, your body slowly succumbs to the terrestrial force and you die. But that doesn't have to happen. So this is why monasteries are up in the mountains. It's why people take mistletoe, because it's the only plant, one of the only plants whose roots is not in the ground. It's not grounded. There's hundreds of ways to imagine how to trap this force. And you just have to change the way you think. And once you change the way you think and you realize, oh yeah, there's this force, and if I get it, I will add to the celestial part of my being, and then you grow plants in it and you feed it to animals and they... So it's the force that can end the reign of the archons at the end of the Kali Yuga, which is really what we need to be fighting, and who we need to be fighting is this alien race that is evil beyond belief and has taken over the world, and we need to call them out and we need to get rid of them. We need to do it in a nice way, but I mean, we need to get rid of them. So,
well, but this, go ahead, Ramon.
No, I was going to say that everything you're describing with the energy, it really sounds, you made me take a double look at Tesla's work, I feel like he really knew
Absolutely. All
about this, and he was trying to bring it out, and of course...
He did bring it out, and they stole it from him and then destroyed him. That's what they do to you. That's what they always do to you, because they're archons. They can't do anything else. So the thing is that you just have to get it out. And you just have to push it out. And in the age of the internet, you can, and let it land right wherever it lands. It's, you know, you just get it out there. And in the internet world, these ideas can become viruses and spread quickly in the underground streams where no one's watching. So, And since this idea is really the idea that will overthrow them all, I have to do it, but I have to be careful. I was hoping someone else would start doing it. And as we approached 2012, I realized that no one was doing it, so I decided to come a little bit further out of the door here and talk about it in a little more open fashion so that people can start realizing that they have to rethink their view of reality.
I saw one of your interviews where you were talking about this energy vortex that's in your body, and it's also the same one around the Earth. It comes around into your head and spins inside your body. And it seemed like the strong point was what the Chinese call the dantian, or right under the belly button.
Yep.
During my own personal practice of Qigong, it really heats up. So I'm really understanding what you're saying. And
well, with the Qigong and Taoism is the original alchemy and understands how the qi works, or the qi. And we have a series of Qigong videos that are really good. We shot at Big Sur that are at sacredmysteries.com. And yeah, we're big into, I'm big into trying to return the world back to Taoism and those kinds of practices, because those are the memories of this, of when we knew about these forces. So we've forgotten them, and I have to put the blame squarely on Newton and Einstein, because they are the ones who brought in this specious idea called gravity. You see, there is no gravity. I know that sounds shocking, because I can't believe I'm saying it, but the more I look at it, the more I'm like asking myself, well, what's the point of even having gravity? And then I realize that the whole point has to be nothing more than to force the minds of the young people in college onto a wrong turn and away from the alchemical knowledge, because it isn't gravity that holds you to the earth or brings an apple down or whatever. It's electromagnetic forces, and it's this force, this terrestrial force, and the negative charge, if you will, that is holding you to the earth.
Wow.
And there's more negative charge than positive charge, because the air is lighter than the ground. So the negative charge, unless you find a way to get off the ground, is always going to win, okay? But you can battle it, and there's things you can do that will get more of that other charge. And so I started looking at this and going, well, where does gravity come in at all? And then you realize that they're really following Tesla, who knew everything I'm telling you, and not following Einstein at all. And so when you read, oh, they're back engineering anti-gravity craft, and all that, well, come on, they are not. They're smart enough to know there's no such thing as gravity. It's a wrong turn that is going to end this world unless we pull out of it soon, and I don't know if we can. I mean, I'm sure I sound like a crazy person to anyone listening who thinks that they understand science, but even science will admit to you, physics will admit to you, that there's four forces in the universe. There's your weak nuclear force and your strong nuclear force. There's your electromagnetic force. And then there's gravity. And they admit that gravity is by far the weakest of these forces. Yet that's what they use to construct their entire universe. and it's specious, and it's totally absurd. And when you know alchemy, you can understand that it isn't that at all. It's an interaction. It's an electromagnetic tension that makes life. You, everybody listening, is caught between the forces that are pulling it down and the forces that are pulling it up. And you need to assist the forces that are pulling it up, because they're weaker than the other forces. And in the Kali Yuga, they're even weaker. So that this is what the Kali Yuga is. This is what the Four Ages is. The Golden, the Silver, the Bronze, and the Iron Age are actually the densification of the Sophian electromagnetic field, whatever that means. And it's a natural process. And what's great about the densification that happens every 26,000 years or so is that that's when the network of consciousness is formed. It looks like hell, right? But actually, she's reaching consciousness. And so, you can breathe easy. There are lots of things going wrong in the world, but you don't really know what's going on, and you don't know what she has in mind. And so we don't know, and anything's up for grabs. And so what we need to do now is to realize the true nature of reality and then change society to reflect that.
That makes so much sense, the gravity thing.
It does, and it reminds me of back again to those Qigong masters when they're when you see them on TV and they'll like step on a piece of painting and they won't go through the painting, and then they'll have somebody else step on it and they'll go right through the painting, where they become, their bodies become so light that they can step on eggs and they won't break the eggs.
That's exactly right. And they've actually, sports teams have actually gone to places like New Guinea and Central Africa to find athletes that can jump high, right? And one of the peculiar things they found, which they never really noted as being important, but which is really important, is that the people who were the highest jumpers were the people who didn't live inside construction. They lived in warm places. They slept out at night, almost every night. And the dew, which passes through the air and gathers up this charge, falls on them. And as we live out indoors, we stop the flow, the natural flow of this force, which comes down through dew. Best is dew is the best. So you collect dew and make sure you don't ever let it touch the ground. You stop it from getting grounded. And you can grow sprouts in it and drink it and boil it down and turn it into the Philosopher's Stone. I know people that collect hundreds of gallons of dew.
Wow.
And there's other magic waters that you can gather that not just the dew, water that comes out of an electric storm. If you live like in the Midwest in the summer, you can collect really incredible water during these storms. And that's highly charged and has this particle in it that will cause people to live longer and transmute metals, and you can astral travel. You can be 80 years old and look like you're 25, that kind of thing.
Going back to the Tesla stuff a little bit, and it being reintroduced to society now, and people, turning their minds in that direction, do you think there's any tie in there with Tesla stuff and what HARP's doing up there?
Yeah, they're trying to stop what they want. Here's what's going on, is that there's a densification of the electromagnetic field. It's just a natural electromagnetic process, a dynamic, if you will. And they can see that it's dropping. It's dropping rapidly. And so is the sun's, by the way. And this is what happens at death. When you die, your electromagnetic field runs out. And the archons know this. And so they're doing everything they can to stop it, slow it down, until they get the hell out of town. And that's what they're doing right now. And they're the ones who developed the UFOs. And I want to read a great book about the Archons. Read Jacques Vallée's great masterpiece, Messengers of Deception. Great book. And you'll see that this is what they're doing. And they know all this science and everything, but they're just profane, and they can't really use it to do much. But they can use it to power their technologies and to do other things, and so they're very dangerous. And I'm sure they don't even like me talking about them.
So you think that what they're doing, I know they're not, pumping up the whatever radiation they say they're doing into the ionosphere. You think they're trying to affect the magnetic field then?
Yeah, that's what they're doing there. I mean, that is what they're doing. They pretty much admit it, yeah.
That would kind of explain why the chemtrail crap, all the aluminum and the metals that they're dropping in there.
That's to increase the conductivity of the air. As the I've never been able to say this publicly before. I don't know how I got onto it. I guess you did it. But the chemtrails are to add metallic substances to the air for them to be able to increase the electromagnetic field falsely through HARP.
Right.
And keep it going. Because when it dies, when the electromagnetic field of the Earth dies, they die. Get it? They die.
Which, you know, I'm all for that. Hey, so John.
Yeah. Let's get it
out.
Yeah,
no shit. So John mentioned an energy burst that was just detected recently from the center of the galaxy. You think I'm guessing that they're trying to block that too with this same technology.
They can. There's only so much they can do to stop things, and they can go on with their manipulation, but it's not going to work. And right now, it's important to get as much information as possible via the internet, and forget trying to make money off of things. And it's not going to work. It's all over. This is the one we've been waiting for, and go back into helping your friends and family and creating communities and bringing the alchemical knowledge back with you so you don't need doctors or anything. And that's where we're going. A world that is populated by maybe as many people or more people than are here right now, but you wouldn't even see them because they're in deep meditation and working their exercises with their chi, and they're in telepathic communication with each other. There's no more internet because we learned how to do it through the internet. You see, each thing that we see that we think is an artifact of a disaster is actually Sophia growing. I mean, she wanted cities. That's why she created them. She wanted art and museums and writing, and she wants all that because that's how she can retain her knowledge, because she thinks in up with our brains.
Is that one of the reasons why almost every major city has these huge crystals under them?
Well, the whole Earth is a crystal. It's part of her dynamic. And what's at the center of the Earth? I mean, if you're going to take mineralogists at their word, then the only thing that could be at the center of the Earth is a gigantic diamond, because it's the hardest thing in the world. So it's the one thing that can't be crushed by all the pressure. But, of course, it's not electromagnetic anyway. But what's interesting, though, is that these crystals are what gives rise to a high increase in the celestial charges or particles. And so metals like gold and silver have a high amount of this charge, and crystals have a high amount of this charge. So once you understand all this, it just becomes glaringly obvious what's going on and how they have successfully, and this is the part that's just, it's one thing to be in possession of the alchemical knowledge that can change the world, but then you look at the history of this whole thing and you see the absolute subjugation, murder, terror, that they inflicted on people who were talking about these things, and it'll give you, you'll look twice, I guarantee it, because that is the part that gets really scary. How every time somebody starts talking about this, a hammer comes down. This is the one thing they don't want you to know about. The first thing Mao did when he took over China was to destroy the entire Qigong monasteries.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what they do always. It's always what they do. They destroy the last vestiges of any of the traditions that are about gathering up the celestial influences. Get it?
That's what it's
all about. And they don't want you. And the more celestial influence you gather up and take into your body, the smarter you get, because your brain is run by it. And also, since it causes levity, your capillary systems open up, and your brain gets more blood to it, so your IQ goes up, and you don't have to work as hard anymore to stay fit. and your arthritis goes away. And they say, the legends say, that if you really know how to take the celestial element and reduce it and make it into a stone, that, you know, you will, you know, you will grow your hair back, grow your teeth back, your nervous system comes back, new skin comes back. So quite miraculous.
You know, this kind of reminds me, we're going to interview a Japanese monk who, everything you describe, you described him, according to legends, because I haven't witnessed him doing any of this stuff, though I've seen some amazing pictures. There's a picture of him where he was kind of balding, and you can see that he's balding, and now, 5 years later, his hair is like grown back in that area.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those are from the chi practices. But you never know what their real secrets are. There was a guy I knew that was building homes in India back in the 70s, and he noticed a Sufi priest that everybody in town knew and waved at every day. And one day he asked the people he was staying with who that guy was. He said, "Oh, he's, you know, blah, 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 the Sufi priest." And he says, "Oh, everybody likes him." Well, he goes, "Oh, yeah, he married my great-grandmother and grandfather." And he's like, "What?" The guy looks like he's about 35, right? And and so you can see that that this is probably a science that's been underground since the archons got heated up 2,000 years ago and started taking over everything. That's when you see the real downfall of alchemy and and all of it. And I think, you know, people like John Lash and me were just kind of sick and tired of it. Like, we've been watching this thing fall apart, and we had so much great potential. They burned the library at Alexandria, which had thousands of alchemical texts. And that was the Christians, and a great movie out called Agora, which is a really good movie about that.
Yeah,
and it shows them worshiping knowledge in the movie. They're constantly discussing reality and you know, and everything. And that is what we should be doing. We should be in an exploration of nature and reality to really, truly understand who we are and what we're doing here. That's what Sophia wants.
So you think when Sophia finally does wake up that it's going to be everybody on the planet, or you think there's a segment that is not going to be able to handle it and just won't do it or won't be able to wake up?
You know what? I hate to be so callous. I think it's kind of time to just quit caring about them. I tried. I'm 58. I've been trying for a long time. And, yeah, there's an awakening going on. I don't think I had much to do with it. But I'm not sure you should be so worried about awakening the unawakened. They're zombies. But, you know, you might get some of them to wake up. You never know. But what we should be doing is trying to get to the awakened and get them to fully awake. They're already on the path. They're all hitting their little barricades and obstacles, which are making them not want to go the distance, because going the distance is scary. You get into conspiracies, and you get into aliens, and you get into creepy, weird stuff. It's true. But it's only by understanding all that stuff that you can also understand who we are, what our essence is, and what we need to be doing, what kind of the alchemy that we need to be doing on a daily basis. Because we're in a war, kind of, you know, a spiritual war. And I don't think we should just let Sophia die without a struggle. I don't think that's right. And, you know, if it was a girlfriend, you know, I'd do anything I could for her. And that's kind of how I feel about Sophia. And she's in the intensive care unit. The archons, the evil archons, are all lurking over her, ready to get the last vestiges of her energy until they just leave her, you know, dead and limp and raped. And then they go off to their other next world to do the same thing. And I'm saying, you know, this doesn't have to be. You know, my history is an exploration of ideas. And you know, my first law is on my website, jwidener.com, Widener's first universal law, which is, to paraphrase, I can't remember and I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, those ideas which are the most suppressed are most likely to be closest to the truth.
Right.
So we have to look at the things that make us uncomfortable, and realize that there's a intrinsic thing going on here. We're living on a planet that's alive, and she has a she doesn't have a plan yet, because she doesn't really know how to plan, but she can have a plan.
So we can actually work in that fashion for her. I mean, like you were talking earlier, I mean, we can formulate a plan for her to help.
That's right.
Help,
and we should make it simple. So don't make it complicated, right?
Right.
We say, okay, well, what's the plan? Let's make it simple. Okay, the plan is what? Now, everybody has clean water, clean air. That's everybody can agree on that. There's no way to argue there. The kids have the absolute best education they can possibly have. We decentralize everything, so it's not run. You don't need huge transport systems, because she can't sustain that. It's just obvious. So we move back into communities. We take up a very low-key style of living, which is based on music and culture and learning and doing Qigong and yoga and practicing alchemy. And instantly, everything will get better. So we don't have to go very far with any of this. We just have to come with a few simple things. If you get complicated, we'll screw it up.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, what do we really want? We want our friends and our family to be safe, and we want to have good food, and we want the best for our children, and we want to sing together and have a good time. And we should just be allowed to do that. And the archons are always stopping that. If you watch the trail of the archons through history, they're always destroying the friendliest of the people, the happiest of the people who still sing and dance, the Irish, the Native Americans, you know, the Jews in Europe, and it's just this history of this complete destruction against people who are really human, who are living a human life.
Yeah.
I was reading one of your things, and if you allow me to read it, it says, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then a symbol is worth 1,000 pictures.
Widener second, universal law.
Yeah, and here is Jay with the Cross of Hende. And I watched this documentary several years ago. I would never think I would be interviewing you. But when I was sitting there and watching this, and it's like, okay, I saw the alchemy, so right away I started thinking, oh, this guy, I guess he claims that he can make lead into gold. I didn't know any better at that time. And as I'm watching your documentary and I'm listening to what you're saying, I just have the oh shit moment where you're explaining how these the Spaniards, when they were going over to Peru and they were finding all these symbols and understanding it and then putting it in Europe in different places.
Yep, it's more proof of everything, and also of a group of, you know, secret society that seems to be moving things around for us and giving us ideas and symbols. There is a group of good guys, I guess you could say. I call them the roosters. You know, they're the elites have the roosters and they have the owls, and the owls are trying to keep us asleep. And the roosters are waking us up. And I don't know why the elite, there would be elites that try to wake us up, but there are. And they're actually on our side. Sort of like Prometheus stealing fire. You know, he was a god and he stole fire and gave it to humans. And then we learned how to cook and make chemistry and things from having fire. And he was tortured for eternity by having his guts being ripped out by a bunch of crows. Well, that's sort of like there's these guys and they're secretly helping us. They feel sorry for us or something. And they're pushing us along on a path. And you know, we have to realize that, you know, there's no accidents. If you think there's like a bunch of synchronicities happening in your life, then you know, maybe Sophia is trying to talk to you. It's the same thing with shamanic substances that are organic, like dimethyltryptamine or the ayahuasca and mushrooms. These are the way that Sophia this is how you learn the knowledge of Sophia. You go into her mind. This is why you can, you know, take a lot of psychedelics and you can, you know, you see like hundreds of what look like abstract paintings and strange landscapes and all sorts of different peoples and everything. What this is her memory. And you're falling into her memory of ages and ages of humans, experiments after experiments, trying to find that one group that's actually going to achieve consciousness.
Well, I think we've had those groups in our history that have actually achieved that consciousness at her 26,000 year, you know, those moments when she awoke and...
She awoke for a while, but she fell back, and we know that she hasn't achieved it because she hasn't achieved it. That's how we know. And, you know, and then you go back through the history of ideas and you realize that, oh my God, there's nothing more oppressed in history than these ideas. They are just incredibly oppressed. It's actually shocking. The Inquisition was really going after Gnostics.
Right.
All of that is just like, well, it's just one long, horrid, you know, display, one horrid thing after another as they attack and kill anyone who preaches about Sophia. Yet science, which doesn't have anything to gain or lose by any of this, you know, they take a look at the Earth, and they're befuddled by the way that the Earth always has an average temperature, no matter what. They're befuddled by how different things can happen to the Earth, like comet strikes or huge volcanoes going off, and still the Earth always recovers. And they finally concluded, you know, that it had to be alive or something. So science can go there, but we've been torn away from it, and we need to go back and use the science as one of our places to show people that we're not kidding around here.
Speaking of going into science, you think that, you know, we got a really big push on with all the astronomers and stuff looking for that planet in the Goldilocks zone type thing. You think we got that group looking for a place to run away to, or?
Well, they don't need to go there. They've already got their safe places on Mars. Go to the website Mars Anomalies, Joseph Skipper's great work, and you can see their colonies.
Oh, that's right.
There. They've got colonies out there, and they're way advanced, farther than us, because they understand alchemy. You understand? They know all about the celestial and terrestrial influences, and they're using it. That's how they fly around.
So it's like more for us and screw the rest?
There are times. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
They do not care about her. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. All they care about is power, period. And they their own ass, and saving their own ass. That's all they care about. So pretty basic.
With the angry sun that you've discovered, do you feel that when this happens, when you have the angry sun, does between it and Sophia and us, is that like the beginning of change physically, alchemical change?
Yeah, and this sun cycle is we know it exists now, so we don't have to like prove it or anything. Fortunately, science finally caught up to my book, and now science is admitting that they found, you know, these solar cycles and huge solar flares at the Earth 13,000 years ago and 26,000 years ago and 43,000 years ago and back and back. So we know that they happen and everything. We know they're extremely dangerous. So what this is, see, Sophia has to reach meta-dimensional consciousness before the solar flares come. Okay? The solar flares are very destructive to her. But if she has enough essence, consciousness and awareness, she can be transmuted by those fires. Because we really don't understand a lot of this. So we have to like give a lot of leeway towards what is actually happening here. We don't know if one of the best things that can happen to a pine forest is to have a big fire, because that's how the pine cones finally release their seeds. They need to get heated up to about 175, 200 degrees. So, fire isn't necessarily a bad thing. And so she will be transmuted by the fire at the end of time, and the whole point now is to turn her into a conscious being before that happens, so that she can then use the fire coming from the sun, the periodic solar storm, and use it to transmute herself.
So, so we got a scenario here. We have somebody just barely waking up, starting to ask questions about what's going on in the world. Is there God? Somebody who's actually been prompted and seeing the synchronicities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would be your suggestion for a good place for them to start?
You are part of her essence, and you need to start working and understanding that, and then everything will just become right for you. And synchronicities are signs that you're being given. If you ignore them, you ignore them at your peril. And you need to follow the synchronicities, and you need to follow them all the way. Don't let them go. Whatever weird thing happened, you need to look at it. It's a break in the matrix. You need to study it. The more synchronicities you have, the more it is that the matrix of Sophia is trying to communicate with you in whatever way that she feels that she has to. And there's many ways. It depends on who you are. And the more aware that you are of her communication with you. I used to know a shaman, a lady, and she was looking up at the sky one day, and we were walking in the woods, and she said, "Oh, my uncle Henry just died." And I said, "How do you know?" And she said, "Do you see that cloud there? It looks just like him." And she was right. You see, I looked up there, and I sort of saw a face. But, because Sophia was communicating, and is always communicating to us, but we aren't aware enough or conscious enough to understand her communications. So there's all sorts of things. This is what, this is what divination and a lot of other things are. It's really tremendously amazing. And once you understand it, you can do anything within it.
Absolutely amazing world, I'll tell you. I'm just more amazed every day. So
you should be.
I am.
You can't learn enough. It's an astonishing place. Yeah.
So we got about 5 minutes left here, Jay. Let's give you an opportunity to give us a parting statement and your websites and your material that you've got out there.
Well, you can go to my wife's company, actually, sacredmysteries.com, where we have a DVD production company. We have about 17, I think, DVDs coming out. And you can go to my own website, excuse me, jaywidener.com, jaywiedner.com, where I have all my free stuff up. Stanley Kubrick, Faking the Moon Landings, and Hyperdimensional Time Explained, and all that. And I don't know what to say to people except that, it's within your grasp to change everything. And you just have to do it. And the first thing you need to do is understand the true nature of reality. And when you do understand the true nature of reality, you'll see the light that's in people, the organic light, as John Lash calls it. And when you see that, it will help to guide you through the treachery of this world. And once we get through the other side, we can get rid of these lower base drives and emotions and motives and live in the golden age, which is an age where we are meta or hyper-dimensional beings living in an elongated life of hundreds of years with the earth as a garden. And it's not a pipe dream. It's a very, very easy possibility. So we just have to imagine it, and it will happen.
So we are something that John mentioned to me about the Archon. I think if somebody feels that they're being oppressed or the subject of an Archon's quote-unquote attack, there's some very simple things that you can do. Just realize that you are actually a divine being, and the Archon can have no command over you.
That's exactly right. They're jealous of us because we are that and they are not. And so we've got to quit, you know, being like sheep and just baaing and running around with them chasing us with their you know, loud barks that actually mean nothing. I don't really think they're much there, to be honest with you. I think that they've got a lot of weapons and they've got some really scary expressions, but, you know, if they shoot us, they shoot them, because the one thing an archon doesn't want to do is work, all right? So, you know, who's going to do the work? And so, you know, I think they're getting more and more reluctant to pull the trigger because they don't know what's going to happen. The awareness is happening so fast that they can't bottle it up, although they're certainly trying, which is why I'm talking as fast as I can nowadays. And it's going to get really, really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
absolutely.
So, well, Jay, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we hope to have you back again soon.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Well, I wish I could have been on longer, but I've got my sinuses are completely caving in on me, so I got to stop talking.
Absolutely.
Here.
Not a problem. Well, thank you so much, Jay. And
but thank you, guys. Keep up the good work. Remember, this is what we're all about.
It.
Spreading
that's
the word.
It. I hope
all
you
right.
feel better.
Yeah, you good too. Night. Bye.
Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. And stay tuned. We have quite a few really intriguing guests coming.
Quite a few coming up this year. And remember, this is the year to make it happen. This is to fully awaken, to realize who you are and what you're really about. This is why you're listening to this show and other shows like this, is to find out who you really are and just take a good look. You'll find a beauty within yourself.
Ramon and I both have pretty extensive, self-teaching, I suppose. So if anybody has any questions or would like references to, if we can't answer the questions ourselves, we can probably point you in the right direction. So drop us an email, either Tom or Ramon at conscious-tv.com. And we'll do what we can to point you in the right direction. So let's see. What else we got, Ramon?
I just want to say really quickly to what you're saying. And if we can't answer, remember that the answer, I don't know, is sometimes one of the best answers because it's that driving answer. You don't know and you really do want to know. You don't want to believe, you want to know.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, well, guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll end with my famous quote, or actually Albert Einstein's famous quote. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Good night, everybody.